Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is the 6:30, keeping it real with the posse. Today we will have a further dialogue with one of the apostles who is dealing with a situation, a health issue in the family, and how that has impacted the family and impacted him as well. And I'm waiting for them to arrive, but the thing about it is, one of those situations or circumstances that one never thought that it would be him or her. And it was about something that was very frightening to him. And he wasn't sure, didn't really understand how to deal with it or how he was going to deal with it. And the thing about it is, we all say we are believers. We would be able to deal with situations and circumstances because we have the word. We have the word. And you know, whenever you think back on it, we were human before we were pastors, bishops, apostles, evangelists. We were human. And we studied the word to come into an understanding of what the word means and how we need to apply the word to our daily living. And I'm keeping it personal now, how we need to apply it to our daily living. And whenever we look at it from that perspective, it puts it in a different light. It puts our feet down on the earth, sky up in the air. We are not on a pedestal. We are the Creator's mind, his voice, his hands, his feet in the earth realm, in the world. Whenever we look at the scripture, the book of John, where it was clear, what did John say? The book there said that when Jesus prayed for his disciples, he was very clear, not to the Father. He did not want the Father to take his disciples out of the world. He wanted them to stay there. He just wanted to stay there and protect them from the evil one. I'm just, think of all of this. And he went on to say, he prayed for you and I who believe in what that he gave the disciples. And we believe that he is the Christ. And as we think about all of this, when we think about it, it's interesting in what we learn from all of this. What do we learn? We are human. And we all the chosen one by our Creator. We were chosen. We didn't choose the Creator. The Creator chose us for a time as this. And I'm not sure where my colleagues are. My mic is running out of energy, so I'm going to use my phone. And this situation, maybe they will be joining us shortly. So I will go on with the situation. The situation impacted this person at a level that he never thought he would be having to deal with it. It was something, it was an illness that was frightening to him, that was fearful. And he found himself on the other side of the desk, the other side of the desk, the one where one had to receive. He had to receive the counseling that he sat on the other side of the desk and was given to the people. Now it was his turn. And as we discussed this, we found that it was an adjustment period that one had to go through. He had to adjust himself to, one, a relationship change, two, look at how that impacted the family overall, and how the offspring was dealing with the situation and what changes they had to go through in terms of accepting the reality. We will not allow dismiss it in terms of something that that was taking place in the spirit realm. It was real. And because it was real, we looked at it through the eyes of Scripture, and we began to see something that was different. And we began to wonder, could it be some spirits that's causing people to do the things that they do? How does this line up with what place in the Scriptures and how Jesus freed them from those evil spirits that was trying to take over the person's body and mind? And also, one then had to deal with the criticism that was coming that way. And the criticism, oh, well, maybe you need to pray a little harder. Oh, well, maybe it was something that was done a long time ago. And, you know, you sit there, they all were critics, but nobody wanted to reach out. Well, I can't say that. There was a couple of people that reached out. But the majority of the people, they offered no support or assistance. So one had to wrestle with that, because one now, like I said, is sitting on the other side of the desk. And how do you respond to people like that? What do you say to them? And as you go through stages, anger, why are they saying that? What? And you sort of begin to withdraw. You withdraw from them because you found them to be hypocrites. They say one thing and they do another. They were not following through on what they said. Not everybody now. And some people did come and offer their help. Some people who were far away, they understood what one was going through. And they offered their help because they knew at some point there would be a communication problem. And because of the communication problem, one needed to someone to talk to. As we kept going on down that path, and one was reluctant to reach out first because, again, one was accustomed to being on the other side of that desk. And because one was on the other side of the desk, now one had to make the adjustment and begin to deal with situations and circumstances that he tried to help other people. Well, I think we have Apostle McIntyre.
Hello, hello, hello. Sorry I'm running a little behind.
Well, as my ancestors say, better late than never, so don't even.
How's everybody tonight?
We're fine.
Praise God.
Well, it's night someplace that we are broadcasting. One of the things that tonight was doing was, and now I just come out since you're here, I was talking about the situation, circumstances that I was confronted with that went from, I didn't name it that yet, but went from dementia to Alzheimer's and the impact that that had upon me and upon the family, and how at one point I was on the other side of the desk. Now, this health situation put me on the other side, where now I have to receive that counseling that I was given to other people. And how that felt. And this was a situation, like I was saying earlier, that was frightening to me. I just couldn't deal with it. I thought I couldn't deal with it. And what happened was my son was one point said that it's like his mom is possessed with a spirit because where she's acting and behaving is not her.
Yeah.
And we're talking about dementia and Alzheimer's and how it is the evil, vicious disease. And now one of the situations that for hers, it wasn't really a genetic based on the doctor. The doctor said hers came from a bump on the head, probably in childhood. And one day after the MRI and after the doctor visit, and she mentioned that she did get hit in the head with the swing. And, you know, back then, you put a swing up in the tree, and they had pecan trees, big pecan trees in the backyard, and their father put a swing up there for them. And the doctor was saying that this doesn't manifest itself. In other words, the scar that was there, some of the blood vessels ruptured, and that's what brought on the memory loss.
Wow.
And that helped, in a sense, to deal with it, but it didn't because the person, my wife, still had memory loss. And we had to make the adjustment. And at one point, we had to, they concluded, one, that's not the person I married. And my offspring concluded that's not the person that they knew as their mama. So we all had to make that adjustment. So my thing was to God that I would take care of her.
Yeah.
And, but I, at one point, I didn't realize how debilitating this whole disease is, not only on the person, but on the caregiver. And
yeah.
I just threw up both hands and hollered at, and asked God
yeah.
for help. Because I realized that it wasn't something that I was, could handle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because people were like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at times.
Mm-hmm.
What I did, I said, okay, this is like a person who's bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that they are one way one minute, and next minute they don't forgot all about what they did or what they said. And
yeah.
you were sitting there, you had to make the adjustment. Well, back to the childhood thing, we both were in our 70s, and when we were growing
yeah.
up, there was no such thing as a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
If you got hit in the head, if it didn't bleed, your parents didn't take you anywhere. If
you did
not come up there, they may put some alcohol on it and
mm-hmm.
send you back out to play.
Yeah.
And but now they, if you have a concussion, they define it as a concussion, you have that, then they got a protocol that you have to go through. So
mm-hmm.
that at least they would have caught that back then, and they didn't
yeah.
have some of the technology then that they have now. So
mm-hmm.
that in itself helped us to accept what was happening. And
okay.
it, we had to learn, you don't, and that's, it's a process too now. The process,
mm-hmm.
through, well, the process you have to learn, one, that you cannot react, because they know not what they do.
Yeah.
Of what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people, though, that would sit down and explain that to you. I had a few people that would do that. And
mm-hmm.
they would affirm you that what you're doing is in line with the word, and you just keep going, as opposed to those
mm-hmm.
critics. And
okay.
there were more critics than, and even, it's very interesting, even my aunt, her thing was at first she thought it was just me. Because remember she said once that we all can't remember stuff at times. And, but one time we were there and she began to see what I was saying.
Okay.
And she had to tell me that I was right. And then
mm-hmm.
another friend of ours, 50 plus years, who lives in a different state, where my aunt and uncle, they live about 100 miles from us. But the other one, they're about 800 miles away. But we would go visit them. So
mm-hmm.
the last time we were there, they went shopping, because they always go shopping. And whenever
mm-hmm.
they went shopping, she began to see that see what the situation was that I was telling her, that that was going on. And that was affirming. Plus, those of you who listen who are going through this, when I go to the doctor, some of them will cause the doctor to think that you are trying to, what's my term, that you're lying on them. I'll just put it that way. Until, because they have a way of sitting there in that doctor's office and talking to the doctor in a way and that the doctor cannot see it. And the other thing is that they will look to you to answer a question that the doctor asked. And whenever you do that, and then sometimes maybe the doctor's not looking up, and then it appears as if you're answering the question in lieu of that person. So it's a disease that is so complicated on many different levels until you just have to stay prayed up, and not only prayed up, but be around people that can affirm you, that understand the word, and know when you need a helping hand, they are there to reach out to you.
Right.
And now, lastly, what happens with men? Men respond differently than women to this disease. We are not nurturers. What helped me was the fact that I was a pastor. But we are not nurturers. And so men see it through a different set of lens. And it's harder for them. Plus, it's harder for them to talk about it with other people. And whenever they do finally sit down, sometimes they are at their wit's end. Now, I know one situation where this man, his wife had it, and he went to the hospital and died. But he has put everything in place, and before he left to go to the hospital, now it's alleged that he was a diabetic, and he stuck a toothpick in his toe. And for something, he was not in a rural area. He was in a big city. And his daughter asked him, "Do you want me to pray for you?" And he said, "No." And not too long after that, he died. So that's why. And then whenever I look at my cousin, whose mama had it, and she took care of her to the end. And she was, I won't say comfortable with taking care of her, but it was less stressful. And she reached out to me and was telling me what stages and what to look for. And it's interesting. And because you're dealing with it on an emotional level as well. Here's somebody that you known or been with for 50 years, and all of a sudden now, they are not the same person anymore. So it's all kinds of little things. And then when you can't sit down and have a conversation with them, that's again a big deal, because you're used to sitting down, the decision has to be made, you would get the input and all that, but now that doesn't happen anymore. So that's all the background in terms of what people go through, whether you clergy, whether you are bishop or whatever title you have, it means nothing, because
right.
you are human and you have certain feelings and certain human needs that need to be met. And as you go through that, yes, the scriptures are very helpful. You can count it all joy as you go through trials and tribulations. Well,
mm-hmm.
that comes to you too. But also, the enemy comes to you working on your mind and trying to get you to doubt. But my whole thing was I put her in God's hand because I knew I couldn't handle it. And then
mm-hmm.
I refused to take it out of God's hand. And I believe God has provided the type of care, and that was my prayer, is that God gives her the type of care that she needs to go through
mm-hmm.
this, help her to be able to be calm as she goes through it. Without,
mm-hmm.
oh, and the other thing, I am one of those person that I don't believe in drugging people. However,
mm-hmm.
that came from my work in a community mental health center in D.C. And I was fighting against those individuals that people would come in and a clinician would drug them up and they sit there in a stupor pretty much till it's time for them to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is some drugs are good because they have a thing that called sundown. And whenever they have the sundown, that causes them to, I call it an approach avoidance state, that the change, they have problems dealing with the change because it goes
mm-hmm.
from light to darkness. And
yeah.
I found that some medication, you have to be vigilant about it. But I found that some medication helps, and because then they can be calm and they can accept what is going on,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to lashing out and going through. And then, because what will happen after they go through that process, then they're just as sweet and kind. It's like nothing has ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, just, you know, we have to be prepared and prepare ourselves for change as people go through this, because they go from one stage to another. And
mm-hmm.
some stages you may think that they are improving, that they are getting well. And if you are not careful, then you will begin to try to treat them like nothing's happened, whenever all that does is really frustrate them even more. So all
mm-hmm.
of that I had to learn on the other side of the desk. And
mm-hmm.
as I was talking to a clergy friend of mine that we used to do joint ministry back in Maryland, it was, how did they put it? They said that what they were saying was that you are now comfortable with the situation and circumstances. It's not that you are, that all the fear and all everything is gone away, but that's still there. But you have learned how to deal with it, how to accept what it is, and to operate within that parameter.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you've never walked through that, Apostle, we sympathize, you know, but it's the person that's in that day-to-day. And I have another pastor friend. and her husband is experiencing this, and I have a lady in my church. Her, well, it's doubly hard because it's both her mother and her father, and one's in a deeper state than the other. And she said the most painful thing to her is seeing that these people that once were so vibrant, you know, out and about and doing, and now it's just like that's body, but that's not them.
That's
she
right.
Said, it's so painful to see that, and she said she just feels helpless, you know, because they lash out. And, you know, she said they lash out and she'd just be trying to help, and then they start accusing you of this and that. And, you know, it just hurts on many levels because you love them. You would never do anything to hurt them, but all of a sudden they see you as their enemy. They lash out, and then when everything settles down again, they don't remember anything that happened. I didn't say that. You know, and she said, and then you're having to, they still think they can do what they've always done. And, you know, trying now, it's like, no, you don't need to be driving a car. No, you know, you go to when you forget where you are. You can't get back. You get disoriented. So she's dealing with that, too. And she said, you know, we pray with her. But, you know, Apostle Armstrong, I know that it is not the will of God that she go through this. And we stand and pray and believe God, because God took those stripes for the mental curse, too. That crown of thorns on his head was for that mental curse also. And even though, you know, hers came about because of an accident, get a hit on the head, I still wouldn't, and I know you have, but I wouldn't give up on a miracle. You know, what you can do for her physically, that's wonderful. That's tremendous. And we pray for your strength and all those that even may be listening and may be going through the same thing. It might not be dementia, but it may be something else that you are a 24/7 caregiver. And that not only changed their lives, but it also changed your lives. And I'm sure sometimes she wrestles because then when they do some things and lash out, you know, like you said, you're still human, you have emotions. And she said sometimes it just makes her angry. You know, how can you talk to me like that? And then once that subsides, she said then she feel guilty or about feeling that way because, you know, so it's just a lot of emotion. So we really just lift you up and pray for you that God will continue to strengthen you, place people around you that will assist and help and, that, like you said, that she'll get the best care. That she'll get the best care, and you know, it's just a place to be in. That if you've never been in there, you know, it's no way I could tell you I know what you're going through because I don't. But I can tell you we care, and we're praying and believing God with you to strengthen you through this.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I had to stop doing was sympathizing.
Yeah.
Whenever I would sympathize with her, then that made it worse on me because it was like I denied what was real. And whenever I stopped doing that, that's whenever I found another level of peace. And it's more empathy, it's more compassion than sympathy. Because whenever we used to do that, then the questions start balling up in you. Was there anything I could have done to change that? Maybe we could have had her get an MRI or something. Maybe it was something that was coming on all along. We just didn't notice it. So that's what sympathy does. But compassion and all that means that you are able to meet them there. You realize this is what's going on, and you're able to move on. Whereas being sympathizing, you sitting there trying to second guess and all that. And like you said, you still believe in miracles. You believe the God that you serve can perform miracles. Where you are right now, you have to address it, deal with it. Because if you don't, you sit around waiting on a miracle, the situation deteriorates, and then God told you, kind of, well, wait a minute, you were there. You saw what was happening. Why didn't you could have done this and this and this? But you sit there and waited for me to do it. Whenever I give you, I've given you the knowledge and understanding to be able to know what that is all about. And why didn't you take some action? So, it's more than a notion, all right? I'll put it that way. I crashed an airplane. I had an automobile accident. I got electrocuted, and I lost a limb. And nothing has impacted me the way that this has impacted me.
And your strength, like you say, comes from the Word.
That's right.
You know, in First Peter 5 in the Amplified, verse 7 said, "Cast in the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully." And that's like you said, it's easier said than done. But God knows everything that's going on, and He knows what needs to take place in your life to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. The strength in you, He cares about her, He cares about you, how it's affecting your family and everything. And this is the time that, you know, just increase that word in you, just so that your spirit will stay strong. You know, the Bible says a strong spirit will sustain you in times of infirmity and difficulties, when you know that you're not alone, that God is with you. Sometimes that's all we have to hang on to, is that I know I'm not in this alone. You know, I know God is with me, and I may not know how it's going to turn out. I don't know all the different turns and everything, but one thing I know is I'm not in this alone, that God is with me. And sometimes that just have to be enough at that moment to be your strength.
Yeah, and sometimes you may have to go for a drive or go for a walk. And while you while you're there, the one that's going with you is the one that's comforting you. And you return, and then you have new energy. I mean, you can deal with it. You can accept it. I think it's more accepting it than dealing with it. You accept it, and once you accept it, then the power of the Holy Spirit can begin doing its work. Because if you don't accept it, then you get angry, and you may want to respond or may respond. And then here now, all of a sudden, you feel bad, they feel bad, and then who's getting the glory? Satan, the devil. He's sitting there just
That's right.
Got him now.
Well, Apostle Armstrong, if someone would ask you, what is something that we could do to help you or to assist you? What not, you know, I'm saying you, but I know that your answer will probably be the answer of a lot of people. You know, what could loved ones and friends do to help assist you at this time?
Okay. What some of my friends are doing, they pick up the phone and call. Like friends in Illinois, they're called.
Yeah.
We're checking in and see how you're doing. And then that means a whole lot at that time. Maybe at that time the call comes in, you just need somebody to talk to, somebody just listen to you. And then the other one, people, and I had to make the adjustment within myself. People are asking, are you taking care of you? Are you doing what you need to do to take care of you? And, you know, first I'm sitting there, what do people ask me all that for? What do they see in me? Do I look that bad? What?
No.
But
no.
It wasn't that. They knew what I was going through. And they knew that if I didn't take care of me, that I'm going to be gone, and who's going to take care of my wife? It's just like when you find it, and they tell you, you put the mask on you first, and then you put the mask on others. Because if you don't put the mask on you, you're going to be gone, and they're going to be gone. Everybody's going to be lost.
That's right.
So, and the other thing is that maybe sometimes if you're in the neighborhood, drop by, and if you had a relationship with this person, then just drop by sometimes and just say hi. And even though they might not be able to carry on a conversation, but they hear you and they'll sit there and smile.
Okay.
And sometimes when they try to have a conversation, I had to learn that I agree even if it didn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
Because you're not going to change their mind.
Yeah.
And what happens is if you disagree or you try to change their mind, that makes them feel worse.
Get angry.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
So you just sort of, as we used to say in the street, go with the flow. And, you know, and you're not lying. You're not, you know, some people will say, you're lying, because I went through that. No, I'll be agreeing with a lie. But you have to sit there and you can agree to something that's not necessarily true. But your agreement is not you agreeing with what they were saying. You agree with them because what they are, where they are, they wouldn't have been there before. They would have made that statement before.
Wow. And, you know, even when you're talking about that, thinking about the person that's in that, just imagine how confusing that is to them. You know, I'm sure they, now you talking about feeling out of control and why am I like this? And I'm sure that, you know, they're in that place and they're like, what is happening? I can't control it. I'm lost. I don't even know who I am. I can't even imagine how frightening and scary that must be.
Yeah. And see, with my wife, her and her office mate, it was two of them. They were in charge of, they were old records management for Amtrak, the whole network. And they worked out of the president's office, okay? So now, here, she used to being able to do stuff.
Uh-huh.
And whenever now she can't carry on a complete sentence.
Yeah,
you're right. That's because you can see the frustration in them.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, so while it gets to be, they understand it is not as frustrating as it was in the beginning. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
But they will start to accept it, or they realize that what they're saying is sort of off track, and they will, that's okay. And whenever they say that, to me, that means that they understand and they have accepted what they said as not being reality.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people in that place tonight, probably that's listening, and I'm sure with them hearing you, you know, express some of you know, how it affects you and all that, then they'll say, well, I'm, you know, somebody else out there understands, somebody else out there hears, somebody else out there cares. I'm not in this alone. They can make it through there, and I can make it through there, too. So I'm sure this is encouraging and helping. And like when I asked what could people do, because, you know, sometimes people be kind of afraid to ask, but is it anything we can do? Or you don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, but just ask what is it something we could do to help you and to, you know, make you feel encourage you and strengthen you along the way. So that's good to know that.
And one thing that bothers me more than anything else is how society have got people locked in the room, locked in the home, and cannot get any help. What happened with us, we had to pay out of our pocket. I had to pay out of my pocket for help, home health and care. And what tell us is we make too much money. And then whenever we were paying $26 an hour for home health care, and the thing was you had to have 4 hours. Minimum 4 hours. And 4 hours is a little over $100 a day at $26 an hour. The average person can't do that, so what do they do? They leave their loved ones at home, and they go, if they're still working or if they have other appointments or something they do have to do, they leave their loved ones there at home by themselves. And that bothers me a whole lot because it just doesn't make sense that here we can come up with money to do everything else. For people who have given their lives, their life work to this society. And that's the problem. I just thank God because we are fortunate. And because reality hit me the last time when she came out of the hospital with had a blood clot, and they put her on blood thinners. Her medicine, might as well round it off, was $580 and some change for 30 days. 30 days.
That's a lot.
And she has
a lot of
that for her life. And, you know, fortunately for us, I just have to reorganize the budget. We can put the money up front and we get a refund back to us. But see, whenever you look at that, there were no coupons. They told us that we didn't qualify for coupons from the manufacturer either, or any reduced rate from the manufacturer because of the type of insurance that we have,
mm-hmm.
and which is ARP Humana. And then the patch, memory patch, that's $400 and some. So my well, when you add it up, you're talking about $1,000+ a month just for those two things. Mm-hmm. How can the average person afford that kind of money for that medicine monthly?
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
That's true.
And see, the alternative to the patch is a pill. Well, sometimes they don't want to take their pills.
Right.
And they have to take that. So, you know, these pharmaceutical companies, they're going to have to stop putting profit before people.
Yes. That is so true.
Yeah, that was reality.
Yeah.
Huh?
We're going to have to really keep praying, Apostle. Have to really keep praying that God would touch these people's hearts.
Yeah, especially the pharmaceutical companies. Just like the one that cut the price on insulin. Well,
yes.
They cut the price on all that stuff and still make a profit.
Right.
But they're greedy. It's greed and gluttony. It's what the problem is.
Yes.
Because all knowledge comes from God, not man.
That's
God
true.
Hasn't given place that knowledge in those individuals, they never would have been able to do what it did.
Right. But thank God we got God in there.
You're right.
Thank God.
Yes, oh my goodness,
that's our solid foundation.
Yeah, because he makes a way out of no way.
Yes, he does.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And, you know, we just have to stand on the word and walk on the word.
Speak the word.
And allow it to manifest itself.
Yes. He will come through. I will do exactly what he said. He will do exactly what he said. Mm-hmm.
He has always come through.
Always. Yes, indeed. Always.
Even when the devil is trying to convince you that he won't.
True. But we know he's a liar and the father of all lies. The word of God says he's been a murderer from the beginning. He's tried to murder people, not only just your person, but your dreams and your destinies and things. He's always trying to convince us that God do not love us, but God loves us with an everlasting love.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, our time is almost up.
Yes.
We have full 5 minutes.
Okay.
Well, I do have a prayer request today.
Okay.
And the prayer request
is for Barbara Scotia College.
Okay.
That school was one of the schools that was created to prepare women for ministry.
Okay.
And it is in transition, and the enemy is trying to take it, change what God has meant for it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just asking that keep that in prayer.
Okay.
That God's will be done.
Yes.
It's in prime location in Concord,
mm-hmm.
North Carolina. And
okay.
And developers want that property.
Oh, okay. Okay. We most definitely will be.
If you don't mind, pray us out, please.
Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've given us.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Lord God, for just reassuring us that you are with us always. No matter where we are in life, no matter the problems or the situations that are confronting us, God, you are always with us. And we trust your wisdom tonight. We trust your way of handling and being right about any and everything. Father God, I just thank you tonight for Apostle Armstrong and all of the caregivers that are having to deal with things that life has thrown at them and at their loved ones. Father, we pray for the loved ones that the enemy is trying to bring all kind of sickness and manner of diseases upon them physically, mentally, socially, financially. And Father, I just pray for them in the name of Jesus. I know that there's nothing too hard for you, nothing too difficult for you. And I pray for the caregivers, God. I pray that you would strengthen them, that you would build them up, oh God, that you would place people around them that will help them to carry the weight of what they're dealing with right now. And Father, I just pray for all of the body of Christ all over this great land and country. I thank you for those of us, God, that are able to worship you freely, that we're able to walk into our own churches and carry Bibles and pray without the risk of being arrested or even killed for our beliefs. And then I pray for our rest of the body of Christ that does not have this liberty, God, and they're losing their lives simply because they want to love you and serve you. And, Father, we just pray for them tonight. Just ask you to cover them with the blood of Jesus. And, Father, he brought up Barbara Scotia College. Lord, you know why that school was created. You know what it was created for. And so we pray that your will be done. Man sometimes thinks he's so smart, but, God, you're smarter than all. You have strategy and wisdom that even fight again. Lord, I ask that you will begin to touch the hearts of those that are just so greedy, Father God, that don't care anything about people, it's just about the dollar. Father God, I ask you to stand up big and show them who is God, who is really running this thing. And Father, I just thank you so much for the precious Holy Spirit. I thank you for this broadcast that you brought us together, Lord. I just lift Apostle Armstrong, his entire family, Apostle Miller, her entire family, Lord God, all of those that are part of the staff of Block Talk Radio, all of the families that listen all around the country, God. And Father, at this tumultuous time, let us know that we have something steady that will hold us, someone that we can depend on. And Father God, that's you. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for every provision and every way made. Father, we come against the enemy. We bind him up in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that the mercy of God is flowing out to your people tonight. Some people have been strengthened tonight just to know, God, that I am not the only one. And that if he can have hope, I can have hope. So, Father, I just thank you and I just praise you and bless you, Father. And we just trust you tonight, God. You're all we have, but you're more than enough. God, we just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And we say thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you for writing our names down. Thank you for preparing a place for us. But even before we get there, Lord, you said we could experience days of heaven on earth. Father, we're believing you for a supernatural manifestation of your Holy Spirit in this earth. Father, we're depending on you that your word is going to flood this earth just like the waters. You're going to cover it just like the sea. Father, many are going to be won to the family of God. And, Father, we just pray tonight that everything that is said and done will be done for your glory. Hide us, Lord God, that you might be seen. It's not about us, God. It's about you. And we just want you to know we love and appreciate you and thank you for everything in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Love you, Apostle Armstrong.
All righty. I think I hear Apostle Miller.
Is Apostle Miller on here?
Oh, it was great.
Yes. Well, praise the Lord. Hello, Apostle.
It was great. Hello, hello. Well, it was great.
Amen.
All right.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. We are the Keep It Real Apostles.
Yes, sir.